Samuel's preaching this morning, but I just want to appreciate those that recently just got saved. Amen. And they're here with us this morning. There's at least three people. At least Sister Lynn, Sister, God bless you, very welcome. And Colin and Lydia, the Lord bless you. And we just appreciate the Lord for what the Lord's doing. Praise God. Samuel, you come ahead, brother, and just preach to the Lord. It gives you liberty. And remember, Brother John Noble's passed away. I'm not sure yet when the funeral is. Brother John used to come here from 94. He came here, and I was very friendly with John Noble, and I used to go over there and preach a lot. And he's passed away, over 80 years of age, had cancer. And we just want to remember the family in prayer and everything. So just remember that. Maybe our brother Samuel, when he comes, will pray. And you come ahead, Samuel. God bless you. God bless each one.
Amen. Maybe, Sister Alva, would you mind coming back just a wee moment? Maybe I'll sing a song just before I pray. Just settle myself. I've had a bit of a cold this last few days, so hopefully my voice will stick up to us. Want to glorify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. When you do that, all things are possible. Amen. I want to try and sing, what do you call it, Arise My Soul, Arise.
Right.
I love that line in it. Five bleeding wounds he bears, received on Calvary. Oh, them bleeding wounds were there for me and you through the morning. Amen. That whipping post, that's where he received them bleeding wounds, and they were for your healing this morning.
Amen.
They were for your healing. Every day you rise out of bed, every day the devil says, do you see that sore knee? Do you see that sore back? Do you see that sickness? Do you see that disease? Do you see that devil speaking in your ear saying you've got this problem? Because of that whipping post, you can say to the devil, I don't have the problem any longer because I'm giving it back to you where it comes from. Let's just try and sing this morning and praise God. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
what the Lord has done for us, why we ought to be glad. We ought to be glad. You know, I am glad, but the devil's mad, like the man said, because he lost the sinner that he thought he had. Why is it, dear? Isn't it wonderful to come and praise the Lord? We're not at a wake, we're not at a funeral. But you know, our brother's passed on into the glory, and I can say this morning, I'm sure he's glad. I'm sure he's praising God. Because now he's there, he's seeing what John's seeing. John says, I looked and behold, there was one that sat upon the throne. And his face was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was light in that place. Why, there's joy there, isn't there? There's joy, and joy abundantly. Let's bow our head this morning. Let's praise his holy name. Oh, merciful God. Lord, this morning, on the authority of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we take authority over every demonic force in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we cast down every work of the enemy this morning, Lord. Lord, I pray that the spirit of happiness, Lord, would be broken in the name of Jesus. Let there be the spirit of joy, Lord. Let the spirit of love come upon us, Lord. Let the anointing of God fall upon us, Lord. Pour in the oil and the wine, Lord. Let your name be poured forth, for your word says that your name is as ointment poured forth.
Hallelujah.
Oh, Lord, I pray, Lord, for every family that's buried even this morning. Oh, Lord God, be their sustainer, Lord. Be their helper, Lord. Be their comforter, Lord. Lord, for those among us this morning, Lord, that feet cast down, uplift them, keep them by the right hand, Lord. Stand them up on their feet, Lord. Put a strength within them, Lord. Lord, Lord God, I pray that you'll keep your hand upon us, Lord. For indeed, these are evil times, Lord. Indeed, Lord, there is conflicting spirits at this time. But Lord God, your word says that, Lord, you would see us through to the end, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Oh, Lord God, we thank you this morning, for there's none like unto thee. Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, that I'll step aside, Lord. Let one word of mine not be heard this morning. But Lord, let every word of yours be heard, Lord. Let it be taken in, Lord. Lord, I pray that familiarity will not break contempt this morning, Lord. Let the people not see me, Lord, for I know I'm nobody, but you are everybody.
Amen.
Lord, I pray this morning that you'll help us in the name of Jesus, we pray, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your presence, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the help that you have given us, Lord. Keep your hand upon each and every one, and for every prayer request, Lord, I pray that you'll undertake. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Maybe just stand for a moment. I'll read a quick bit of a scripture here. And I'll try and not be too long this morning, but get to the point. I'll try not to foot it about all morning, but I'll just try and get to the point. And hopefully the Lord will bless you this morning. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1. I'll maybe just read a couple of verses, then you may take your seat. But I want to look this morning, I want to speak this morning on the infection or condition, and then I want to talk about the prescription.
Amen.
This here verse in the Bible is where every disease, every sickness, every problem in the world started right here. We see here now in Genesis chapter 3, we'll read from verses 1 and we'll read verses 2. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. I'll read verses 3. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. You may take your seat this morning. The Lord bless you this morning. You know, it's not an easy thing to get up here. I'm not really a very pushy or forward person, or I don't think I am. Maybe I come across that way, but I'm not. And you know, it's wonderful but to glorify the name of the Lord.
Amen.
It's wonderful that we have got this opportunity, and I thank God, and I thank everyone, and you know, it's great, isn't it, that the Orange, that the Lodge here gives us this building to come here and to worship the name of the Lord. Places in the world where you can't worship the name of the Lord openly, but it's wonderful we have that. But this morning I want to talk about this infection. And we know right away what this infection is. This infection is called sin. Now, if this could make it to the news headlines this morning, they would probably call it, I think the right word is a pandemic. An epidemic is an infection or disease that breaks out in an area, but this one here is a worldwide problem. It's a worldwide issue, and I think the word for that is a pandemic. You'll hear them on the news if something's spreading all over the world. I think it's called a pandemic. But this here is a worldwide infection, but people don't really realise it. But as I say, this is the cause of all sickness and all disease. The name of it is sin. And the problem is, this is in your gene structure. They talk about your gene makeup, they talk about everything, but you know, science is looking for something called a missing link. And they're looking for a boy that looks like a monkey crossed by a human. He's like an in-between creature. But you know, God put it in his word. We don't believe in evolution. I call it evolution. I've said it before. It's evolution because evolution teaches people that you've no purpose. And when they die, it's all over. So live like the devil. Do whatever you like. When you die, it's all over. But I want you to know, have you ever listened to an account of someone that died in a state and went down into the deepest caverns of hell? You know, I'm telling you, it'd make the hair stand on the back of your neck. When you hear when people say the suffering that people are going through in that place, I'm telling you, you want to avoid that, as they say, like the plague. You want to stay away from that place. But they say then that when people are in that position, and maybe they've seen a lot of people have talked about seeing a light coming down there, and then they hear a voice, and they get caught up out of that realm, and they get caught into another realm. I know of another man, he talked about when he died, he got caught up into a realm, and he went to this place, and he said everything, there seemed to be music everywhere. Boy, it's wonderful, isn't it?
Amen.
It's a wonderful place. There seemed to be music everywhere. Remember, hang was lovely. If you can imagine the nicest day that you ever went anywhere to see something, it's better than not.
Right.
He says, it has not entered into the heart of man the things which he has prepared for us.
Amen.
Why, it's wonderful.
Amen.
And it'd be wonderful to see all our loved ones in that place.
Amen.
But you know, because of this condition, that happened here in the Garden of Eden, there's a barrier. We'll get to that now in a minute. We'll read on down here to verses 7. We'll start at verses 3 again. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eye, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. You know, here we see, you know, what people have said about this here portion of Scripture for years. Right away you could see what happened here was an act of disobedience. And then we could look at the Bible and we see that when people disobey God, that there's consequences. You see, what did Samuel say when he came up and he seen Saul? And Saul, he said to Saul, what is this I hear? The bleating of the sheep and the noise of the cattle. And Saul says, but I took, the people want them. The people wanted to take the best of the cattle, and Saul said, you know what, we'll take the best of the cattle, and you know we're going to sacrifice them unto God. Thought he'd done a good thing. But Samuel said to him, being a prophet of God, he said to him, obedience is better than sacrifice.
Amen.
God doesn't need for you to do any great big sacrifice. He just needs you to obey his word.
Amen.
And when you obey his word, then you'll get the success that comes with it. And I thank God that God sent a prophet in the 20th century with a prophetic word. And he took the blinkers off. The scales fell off this scripture. This scripture was locked up for years. People had all different suggestions. They had apple trees, they had pear trees, they had banana trees and all sorts of trees. And different fruits of every sort in this scripture. But God has hidden something in here, for he says that the serpent was more subtle, than any beast of the field. Here is the missing link that scientists is looking for. But they're looking at it the wrong road. Here is the man, this is the in-between creature that they know there's something there, but they're going about it all the wrong road and they're looking at it a whole different way. Like there was a man said to me recently, they were talking about watching some great program and their man talked about billions of years and how that things all formed and everything. And then there's a boy who looked at me and he says, this boy here, he's a creationist, you know. And your man sort of looked at me, went and see what I'd say. I said to him, I says, that's right. I said, I believe in a creator. I says, you boys are standing here. Now look at that tree over there. I says, what tells that? Like Brother Branham said to the man, I took the example. I says, what tells that tree in the winter time for them leaves to fall off and the sap to go down in it? And what tells that in the springtime for the sap to come back up in it and put leaves back on it again? Does that do it on its own? There's a force at work there. And what told the creatures when them tsunamis hit different places to leave there? How come there was no animal destroyed when these things happened? Because they're still in touch with God. They're still in touch with God. But the whole creation's all upset at the moment. The whole creation's all in turmoil. Because you see, was it Paul said that the earth is going to and fro like a drunk man? There's turmoil in the earth. Everything's unstable. People's minds are unstable. What we see here that the first thing that the serpent said, he said unto her, yea, hath God said. You see that attitude everywhere, haven't you? Yeah, the word of God says I should do this and I should do that, but I think something I should do this or I should do that. When we get into the position where we do this and we do that, we find ourselves in trouble. Because again, we're stepping out. You know, when Eve here started to speak to this serpent, she stepped out from behind the barrier, the word. Once she started to get into that position, she stepped out of behind the barrier. And with a mixed crowd here this morning, I don't really want to go into the complete details of what happened. But we know that there was two children born. And they were twins. There was Cain and there was Abel. Now, I heard a man recently and I thought this man, to me, I've heard him speaking about a few different things. And I thought, you know, I just wanted to hear what he'd say. But he said, oh, there's an elaborate teaching going about at the moment about that how there was some act took place in the garden. But I'm not going to say what it was because there's a mixed crowd. But he said, you know, that wasn't right. But he had some great big theory that the angels come down and they done this and they done that. But you know, that would be contrary to the word of God. You know, if angels could come down and press into human forms, then they could become creators. But there's only one creator.
Amen.
If you break one part of the word and make something else creator, then God isn't just the only creator, is it? If you do that. But God is the only creator. But there was a mixture here because he says that I will put enmity between thy seed and the woman's seed.
That's right.
So God told us. He said there was a mixture, there was a problem with the seed. And we know that for anything on this earth to work, there has to be a seed and it has to be planted. If you want to, just for talk's sake, if you want to have lambs, you have to have ewes and you have to put a ram in with them and the ram has the seed. And the ewe carries the seed. And then you have lambs. And you know, it has actually happened this year with me. I had two rams. I had a Charlie ram and a Dorset ram. And I just run the two rams with all my ewes. And I said to my dad, it'll be interesting to see if we get one of each out of any of the ewes. Because the Dorsets is really, I know the Dorsets over the Charlie. When the Charlie lambs are born, they've very little hair on them, or very little wool on them, their face is a bit bare. When the Dorset lambs are born, they're all woolly, and they've a woolly face right up round. And we had a ewe, and she had two lambs, and she had one of each. You see, people said, oh, this couldn't maybe happen, you know. When people read this scripture, they said that theory couldn't be right. How could that happen? But it was in the papers a long time back as well, I believe, where a woman have two different children, a white child and a black child.
That's right.
So it can happen. And you know, my father-in-law too, he said that they run two different bulls one time. They had a Simmental bull and a Friesian bull. And the cow had two different calves.
That's it.
So it's possible. But you see here, this is where this nature comes in. This is an infection. And this is why it's important what happened at Calvary. Because this infection's in the blood system. The blood system is poisoned by a thing called sin. The whole human creation is poisoned by a thing called sin. And this sin influxion come into the whole human system via this act that took place in Genesis.
That's right.
It was not only an act of disobedience, but the serpent sowed a seed into the human race. And he was anointed by the devil to do that. Because you know, another verse in the Bible says, thou hast been in Eden. Talking to Satan. You have been in Eden. But we see here what happened then, a very sad picture in verses 23. It says, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden. And we know, just on back in the story, that how when it all come down, that God come down walking in the midst of the garden in the cool of the day, and he called for them, and they answered him, and he said they hid themselves because they knew they were naked.
That's right.
So something happened there.
That's it.
Like a vaping, some kind of a fruit, I don't think it would make you realise that. But you know, a prophet of God said that when he spoke in Africa, and that the women there were naked, because that's the way a lot of them, it's not the same culture, it's not the same setup there, but the women were partly naked, but when they heard the word of God, something came upon them. And they covered themselves.
Amen.
You see? So we see here that what happened here, he says then, the Lord God said, in verse 23, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at eastward of the garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Why? That was a sad day. That was a sad day, because if that their situation had stayed that way was blocked. There was no hope for man. There was no way for man. But God also hid something here in the scripture again, which a lot of smart people looked at it for years and they skipped over it as well. Because it says that God then made them coats of fur. There was no animal rights activists then.
Right.
But God took animals.
Amen.
An animal had to die. There had to be the shedding of blood.
Right.
God was painting a picture.
Right.
Calvary is from Genesis to Revelation.
Right.
There's a picture painted this morning. There's a red line that flows all through the Bible. And it leads to the center cross at Calvary.
Amen.
He showed us here something. He also showed us something in Adam. Adam was a perfect creation before this took place. Adam was a perfect creation. Death is not designed even for man originally. Sin brought about death. This infection of the blood called sin, it brings about heart disease, kidney disease, every disease you can mention, it brings about all sorts of diseases and problems. And you know, with it also there is the spirit of heaviness comes as well. Demons can attach themselves onto people, and they bring about depression, they bring about disruption, they bring about the spirit of heaviness upon people.
Right.
You know, if a demon attaches himself onto someone, they bring about these different problems. People say there's no such thing as demons anymore. Well, I would say there's probably more demons now than there ever was. You see, people say, well, something happened. How did that happen? How did God let that happen? When some great tragedy takes place in the world, it's called an act of God. It's laughable, and it's not laughable in one way, but it's laughable in many ways. But if something good happens in the world, you know what it'll be? There'll be a big billboard And some while be up on the billboard and he is an outstanding man because that great thing happened because of him. But some tragedy happens in the world, some event, and everybody says, we don't believe in God. But when something happens, how did God let that happen? Because of Genesis. Because of sin. The sin didn't only affect the humans, but it affected everything. Everything was upset. Because he says that thorns and thistles and all sorts of weeds and dirt would grow on the earth. Can you imagine Eden? If you don't want to plant swaths in Eden, there was no potato plant. There was no need for chemicals to kill weeds because there was no weeds. If you wanted to grow any vegetable you wanted, did you ever try to grow vegetables in your garden, David? I remember one time I planted, must have been half an acre of vegetables. And I was working my dodgy equipment. And I planted a lot of them by hand. I planted thousands of wheat plants of broccoli and wheat cauliflowers and everything. And I went down, up and down the field, planting them away. And they looked good because I had the soil all nice and clean. And this was looking fantastic. But you give it a week. And then the work begins. You thought it was hard planting them. But you try keeping the weeds out of it. Sin. You go someday, if you've ever worked in the countryside, if you go to do something, if your animals ever broke out and you go to get them, and I guarantee you'll end up with a thorn in your hand, a thorn stuck in your head or in your arm, or your coat tore open with a thorn.
That's
right. Sin.
That's it.
Sin. It's the infection on the human race. The infection on the whole world. A condition. We see here that, so God, it says, so he drove out the man out of east of Eden, out of the east of the Garden of Eden, and cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. That was a sad day. But you know, that barrier is there whilst you live in your sin. Whilst you do not accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, that barrier's there. There's nothing to break it down. If you're living in that position where you have not decided to ask the Lord into your heart, or you have not made that decision, it's there. There's no access to the tree of life unless you have an act of repentance and accept the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made.
That's right.
Because on the cross he showed us another sign again.
Yeah.
When he was on the cross, it says that when he bowed his head, that the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. A way was made. You see, there was a whole rigmarole and a whole ritual. But it was all pointing at something. I love the whole story about, you know, the sacrificial lamb. The whole story of the sacrificial lamb is just a complete picture of Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, they had to go out, they had to select a lamb every year. And they had to examine him to make sure there was no spot or blemish on him. He couldn't be a dodgy one. He couldn't say, well, take a dodgy one. Pick a boy with a bad leg or something, or a bit of a rupture, we don't need him. No, he had to be examined. And Jesus had to go through the same ritual. Jesus was brought into Jerusalem. They all rejoiced. They praised God. They threw down palm leaves. Everything was great. There was a revival.
That's right.
But it all soon stopped, didn't it? Because then they went and they arrested him. And they brought him to the court, the Sanhedrin court. And they tried him and they threw false accusations at him.
That's right.
But they couldn't find any fault in him.
That's right.
They then took him to Pilate and he grilled him, as it were. He put him through everything. He could figure out, and his wife came in and said, I have nothing to do with that man, because I had a dream and it troubled me today. But he was in a position, peer pressure. There's an example in the Bible, isn't it? Peer pressure will make you do anything too. But it wasn't all peer pressure. He could have made a decision. But it was the foreknowledge of God, because the word of God says that there was a lamb slain before the foundations of the world. There was a lamb in the mind of God in Genesis here. He knew that Adam was a picture of Jesus Christ. Because, you know, Adam could have said, when his wife had partook of this act, he could have said to her, I have nothing to do with you. And that would have been in all over. But he took her. He took her in. Like Jesus Christ, he could have turned us away. God could have rejected us. We had no right. Especially as Gentiles, what right did we have? No right at all, because Jesus said to the man, he says, salvation is of the Jews. But to see God made a way. We see here, as I say, he drove them out, he put a barrier. And the psalmist David says in Psalms 51 and verses 5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. The psalmist David knew about it. You know, a lot of the Hebrew scholars and rabbis know what happened here. If you read some of their articles, you'd see it. But you see, smart men. I'm not a smart person by any means whatsoever. And I'm no problem with smart people. It's great sometimes to hear a smart man explaining something too. It's wonderful. But sometimes knowledge takes you so far. But then you need the anointing.
Amen.
You need the Spirit of God to move. You could read a scripture and you could read it and read it and read it, and you know you're almost getting it. But if you went away and prayed for a moment or two and come back, something can click. Something can click. As I say, this here condition. But as I said, there's a prescription.
Amen.
God doesn't leave you without hope.
Amen.
It looked here like a bad picture, this, that he's kicking them out of Eden. He put a angels, cherubims, with a flaming sword to protect the tree of life. At least they would put forth their hand and live forever. But now he's made a way.
Amen.
You can have eternal life now. You can touch the tree of life. There was a woman one day touched his hem of his garment.
Amen.
And she was made whole.
Right.
She tried every doctor in the land. She tried every physician. She took every pill under the sun, but it didn't work. But one day, one day she pressed through a crowd. She said to her friends, I don't care what you say about him, I'm going there, and I'm going to, even if I can just but touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. And she was. There's a prescription made. Psalmist David, as I said, he said, I was shaping an iniquity and sin that my mother conceived me. He knew what happened. He knew there was sin. But you know, the psalmist David, he's one of the greatest examples, I believe, in the Bible of a man that knew how to repent. He'd done some terrible things. He'd done some awful things, but he knew that if he genuinely repented. You see, the devil wants to tell you. You know what he wants to say? Doesn't matter why you repent or not. Say sorry all you like, it doesn't matter. But that's not the truth. God has made a way. What does the Lord's Prayer say? It says, forgive. What is the key thing to everything? Forgive. If you want to be forgiven, you must forgive.
Right.
No, I'm not forgiven. I'm in the rank all the time. I never get enough. Whose spirit's that? Where did we see that one in operation? When he come down into the garden, what did he say to Cain? It says in the process of time. We'll see the nature here.
Right.
In the process of time, Cain rose up and he killed his brother Abel.
Right.
The first man that committed murder in the Bible. The first murder. Now we see what his root says, because the Bible says also, not as Cain, who was off that wicked one. The Bible tells us what happened here. Not as Cain, who was off that wicked one, and wherefore slew he his brother, because his own works were evil, but his brother's works was good, because he had a different nature. He had a nature of forgiveness, and when it come to it, what did he do? It says that Cain went out and he was a planter of the ground and a tiller of the field and everything. And he went out and he gathered up all grits, plums and pomegranates and whatever all he was growing. And you know, he brought that down because maybe he believed that they had some kind of a fruit. So if he brought something, it might sort it out.
Yeah.
But Abel knew what happened because Abel went to the flock and he took a lamb. And he cut his throat while it was roughing him, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Blood gushed everywhere.
Amen.
But he knew it was blood. It had to be blood. And the Lamb of God came to this earth, born in a manger, a little baby. And as I say, he was grilled by the courts of the land, and they said, we find no fault in this man.
Amen.
But what will you do with him? What will you do with this man called Jesus this morning? What will you say about him? Will you say that crowd said that day, away with him, crucify him. Crucify him. you saying, "Oh, I'll have him. I'll take him. I'll accept him. I'll take him as my Savior. I'll stand out on his behalf and I'll say, he's alive."
Amen.
We see here that, if you read in verses 4, we see that their account it says, "And Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived." And you see, this is how we know it was twins, because if you read this verse, it says, "And Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bore his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground." He only knew his wife once. It only says once what happened, but there was two children born. But we read earlier on what happened. Because God was angry about the mixing of the seed, God says, "I will put enmity between thy seed and the woman's seed." And we know that he was also speaking of Calvary again. Because he knew there was going to be a seed come up. He said he was going to come up out of the offspring of David. That I would raise up a seed.
Yes.
He would raise up a seed of the woman. He took Mary, just an ordinary little woman. The Holy Ghost come down and spoke to her and said that you are going to conceive. And you're going to bear a child. And you're going to call his name Jesus. And the scripture says that his name will be called Emmanuel.
Amen.
Which is God
Amen.
With us.
Right.
He was the God-man. He was God
in
veiled in flesh.
Right.
You know, some religions teach us that we're going to go to heaven, we're going to see three gods. There's three gods knocking about up there. I don't want to be sound totally disrespectful, but it's a Catholic doctrine. Three god religion. If you look anywhere through history where they have multiple gods, what was it called? Does anybody know what you call that? Pagan worship.
Right.
You call it idolatry. Now, how could the Word of God speak against idolatry and then have you to follow an idolatry way of me believing? How would that work out? But you know, when we read back in the history, we see that in 325 AD that they formed the Nicene Council of Churches, and they said that they would do away with the original form of baptism in the Bible, and they would put three titles on it because it would suit all the different gods that they worshipped. Rome had all several different gods. The Egyptians worshipped several different gods. We know that even Solomon, his downfall, because he married women from all these different places, and then women brought their gods with them. And they built up altars to the false gods. And God calls it idol worship. So why would you worship three gods? Why would you not worship the one true God? His name is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He can appear, he appeared in different forms. But there's only one God. There has to be one God.
Amen.
You see, John wasn't caught. John was caught up in the heaven. He says, "And I looked and behold, there was one that sat upon the throne."
Amen.
And he was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. John didn't say he was caught up and he seen two or three. He said he seen one. And the scripture also says that him, singular, everywhere in the Bible. But now I don't believe that Jesus was his own father. I don't believe that he was his own father because Jesus was the fleshly form that God took on him, as it were. That was the only thing we could see. You know, they were desiring to see something. That's what's wrong with man today. This sin influence, but there's a desire in man to have fellowship. There's a desire in man to worship or praise something or someone. And if the devil can fill that void with something other than Jesus Christ, he will. He can put some billboard up and he can fill it with that. He can fill it with anything at all. But I want you to know that God wrote out a prescription. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 1. It's the greatest prescription that ever was written in the Bible, or wrote in the Bible. "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil day come not, nor the years draw nigh, where thou shalt say, have no pleasure in them. Remember now thy Creator."
Amen.
But if you believe in the doctrine of evolution, I'm calling it evolution because that's what it is.
Amen.
If you believe in that doctrine, you don't have a creator. You have no purpose. Then the devil moves in and fills the void for the people. But when you read the prescription, God wrote out a prescription. If you went to the doctor and the doctor examined you, he says, I believe you've got an infection, say, in your ear and whatever it is. And then what does he do? I'll have to write you a prescription for antibiotics. And he's the only one who's got the authority to write that. Because it's a precious source of medicine. It's a precious thing. And we see in the whole world that there's a line running through everything of good and evil as well. That takes us right back to Genesis again. We see that the whole line of good and evil, everything that's created that man has created to put us harm to, it has a source of good, but it can also have a source of evil. Some medical medicine, when it's used in the right way, is a great source of good to make your body better and help heal your body. But God's the healer. But the medicine helps you to do it, doesn't it? And if you follow the prescription, if you got the prescription from the doctor and loused it over the edge, as it were, come home with the tablets in your hand, I'll just throw one of these in them every now and again, I'll be all right. What's going to happen? You've no people. I know there's a man, I was working on a job one time, and there was two Polish or Lithuanian men was working there, and this boy went and got a prescription, but he couldn't really read English too well, and it said to take two tablets so many times a day, but he thought, take two tablets every time. He overdosed himself, and he ruined his kidneys, and now he has to go for dialysis and everything. Because he didn't follow the prescription, he misunderstood the prescription. But you see, it's not hard to misunderstand when you've got the language of the servant speaking in your ear, is it? He will say to you, yes, has God said, you know, if you do this, you'll be like a God. If you do this, I will, like what did he say to Jesus? Like we're saying, come down from the cross.
Right.
Or what did he say? He took him up onto the mountain. He says, all this that you see, I will give to you. Throw yourself down off there now, and your angels will take charge of you. Suicidal spirit he tried to work with too. Where does that come from? Sin. It's the infection. The infection of sin brings depression, oppression. It brings a suicidal spirit with it. Brings all these things. But there's a prescription this morning.
Amen.
Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil day come not.
All right.
You may say, well, I am all the years. It doesn't matter. Remember him now, and he'll make you young again. How does he do that? Because he says, I will renew thy strength like the eagle.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Your youth I will renew unto you. You may be weak, you may be tired here, but when you get over there, what are you going to be?
Glory.
You're going to be like the scripture says, they were led up like calves of the stall by the. You let them out, you see them going. They'll skip, they'll rejoice. But the people of God going about with spirit of heaviness on them. Spirit of heaviness, a dullness over them. Woe over the sleepless. Thrash over something, but don't magnify God. Romans, this prescription, Romans chapter 3. I don't know what way this time's gone. It's well gone, I'm sure. I'll have to come to a close. Are you enjoying the Word of God?
Amen.
I hope it's doing you good.
Amen.
Romans chapter 3, verses 12. He says, they are all gone out of the way. They all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. Poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Where does that nature come from? There it is again. There it is again. What is the poison of asp? Snakes. Poisonous. The word of your mouth can be a real poison.
Right.
Do you know a slap on the mouth isn't as bad as somebody telling a lie behind your back?
That's right.
What happened? You know, there's only one or two video accounts of a prophet of God, William Morion Brown, speaking. But one of the events is where a woman comes up and he looks at her and he says, I see a dark spirit following you. And he stood and he looked and God revealed it on him, says, someone told a lie about you. Dark spirit following you. It was a lie.
Right.
He tried to say the woman was a witch, but he said, you're not a witch.
Amen.
A dark spirit. a lie, a word spoke against a brother can become a mountain. A molehill turns into a mountain. Have you ever seen it?
Yes.
You go to a job, a man does something, by the time you get to the next job, he's done 10 things. It wasn't only one thing, it was 10 different things happened. But God has made a way. Verses 23 here again. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned. It's a worldwide infection. It's a worldwide problem. We see here again, as I say now, there's lots more I could maybe say on the negative side about this here problem, but I want to say one or two things on the positive side. We see here, what is the prescription? What is the prescription? Paul preached the prescription. Acts 2. Book of Acts, chapter 2. He gave you the prescription. Acts 2. He preached a wonderful message here, but I want to look at two verses. Acts 2, verses 38 and 39. What is the key? What do you have to do? You don't have to climb a mountain. You don't have to jump off something and roar and gulder or do somersaults. All that you have to do is do this one thing. Acts chapter 2, verses 38, he says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, unto your children, unto all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Lord. Hallelujah! It's a promise in God's word. When you repent and believe in Him, what does He say He'll do? He will give you the Holy Ghost. What did He say here? Did He lay out a whole ritual or rigmarole? No. He said, repent. Repent ye therefore and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Now, when God gives you a gift, He doesn't say, did you ever see somebody, two children, tormenting each other? Give you a ticket off you, give a ticket off you. No, that's not the way God works. When He gives it, He doesn't take it back again.
Amen.
He gives it, you have it. When you're saved, you're saved. It doesn't matter if the devil said, "I know, but you didn't do that well this week. I think you're not saved anymore. You didn't do that well last week. You're not feeling that great today. You're not saved anymore." Oh, devil, you're a liar. You were a liar in the beginning when you come and spoke to Eve. You're a liar then. You're a liar now. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you say, "But I don't have power to get over it." What did He do? When Jesus picked out His disciples, what did He say to them? "I give you power."
Amen.
"I give you power."
Amen.
Over all manners of devils. So people want to get out the label stamper now. He has got this ministry, he's got that ministry, he's got some more ministry. What does it matter what they have or haven't got? If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, what do you do about it? Forget about it. But if it lines up with God's Word, then you glorify God for it. Not the man, not the person, not anything, but Jesus Christ is the one that you glorify. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 13. If you've got a pen, you could write these scriptures down. I just want to give you these few scriptures to help you. Acts chapter 13 and verses 38 and 39 again. It says then, "But be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins." That through this man. Hallelujah!
Glory.
Who is this man?
Jesus.
He's Jesus. Who is He? He's the one that led the children of Israel. He was the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. He's the same one. He's the one that appeared on Abraham in the form of Melchizedek. He's the same one. Jesus is His name. "You shall bring forth a son, and they shall call His name Jesus, for He shall be called Emmanuel, God with us."
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'll just jump on right to the end here. Just want to leave you one more verse of scripture. First Epistle of John, chapter 1 and verse 7. When the devil speaks to you this week and says, "Oh, don't think you're going to make it this week. Don't think you've made it too well last week." You tell him this one, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood," that's the key, that's the prescription, "apply the blood, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us," not just one or two, "us all from our sin, from all our sin." He doesn't say, "I'll take that one away, take this one away, but I'll let you have one or two of them just for the sake of it." No. When Jesus Christ delivers you, he doesn't leave you with one or two problems. What? Why is it that when sometimes something happens, what causes there to be a negative response? Sin. Unbelief. Unbelief causes things to come back on people. People get delivered from different things, but then they get home. "Well, I don't know, I'm not feeling great now. I felt good there, but I'm not feeling that great now." And the next thing, they talk the problem back to themselves. Talk it away from yourself. Proclaim it that everything's well.
Amen.
Like that woman, her son was lying dead. And when the prophet come, what did she say? Say it all's well.
Amen.
All's well, miss. Your son's lying dead. You tell me all's well. All's well. Because God's in control. Yes, there's a great global problem over the whole world. But Jesus Christ came and he brought a prescription at Calvary, the bleeding arm. And he showed us the same example for the children of Israel. What did he say to them? "Take a lamb, kill the lamb, get the blood. Don't stand and look at it in the basin all day, but take a bit of hyssop, take a bit of a common weed and lift it and spread it over the top of the door, put it on the lintels. Apply the prescription."
Amen.
Apply it. God's word says he's a healer. Apply it.
Amen.
God's word says he's a deliverer. Apply it. God's word says you're saved. Believe it.
Amen.
Don't let this serpent come and speak in your ear. Who will he use? Do you think he's going to use some big giant or some big ugly thing to come and try and discourage you? No. If he can use someone that maybe you have a bit of respect for or something, he'll try that one. He'll try anything at all to derail you. But I want you to know that God fixed the tracks at Calvary. This train cannot be derailed. This train is not stuck in the station, but she's full steam ahead. Full steam. Throw coal on her and she goes quicker. How do you throw coal on? Lift up his name. What did I preach before? Lift up the hands which hang down. You know what the devil wants to do? He wants to tie your hands down. He wants the feeble knees to stay feeble. But the word of God says, "Lift up the hands which hang down and strengthen the feeble knees, lest that one be lame. Be turned out of the way, but rather let it be healed."
Amen.
And when God brought the children of Israel out, it says there was not a feeble one among
Amen.
Them.
Amen.
May stand up to your feet this morning in a moment. We'll close in prayer. Just pray a moment. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Oh, merciful God.
Whatever your need is this morning, I want you, if it's an ailment in your body, like a brother Tommy said, Pastor Brother Tommy said last week, point of contact. Lay your hand upon the ailment. You know, I believe it was maybe Oral Roberts even said to people, just even reach out and touch the seat in front of you. Any point of contact mixed with faith, releasing your faith, put your faith into action.
Hallelujah.
You say, "I haven't got faith, and oh, I don't feel like I have faith." But the word of God says you do have faith, because he says, "I have appointed unto every man a measure of faith." The very fact that you're here today means you have faith.
Amen.
The devil wants to tell you you don't, but you do. Cast his voice down. Oh Lord, thank you this morning, Lord, for your mercy and grace, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord, this morning, Lord, for your precious blood, Lord. Lord, this morning we give you thanks, Lord, for this great prescription which you have written out for us, Lord. Oh, Lord God, it has got everything we need, Lord. Lord, we lift up your word this morning and say, holy and reverent is thy name.
Amen.
Great is thy name, Lord. Merciful art thou, O Lord. Full of mercy, Lord. Not quick to anger, Lord. Oh, Lord God. Lord, if there be any bitterness in us, Lord, let it be turned to sweetness, Lord. Lord, if there be sickness in us, Lord, curse it and cast it down in the name of Jesus. Oh, we take on thy holy name, Lord. And by the power and authority of that name, Jesus, we declare healing in the name of Jesus. We declare a deliverance in the name of Jesus. Lord, for those that have made a decision to follow thee, oh, Lord, I pray that you'll put your angels round about them, Lord. Lord, let them put on the helmet of salvation. Let them put in the earphones of the King of Kings, that they may be contacted to that line, Lord. That they may hear thy voice, Lord. That it would drown out the voice of the enemy. Lord, let us put on the breastplate of salvation this morning, Lord. That any fiery dart of the devil may bounce off it in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, that you're a good God and beside you there's no other. Lord, this morning, Lord, we say, like that little woman, we look at the face of the circumstances and we say, all is well. All is well. Lord, we proclaim it. All is well. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to open your word. Lord, I pray. Any word of mine, Lord. Anything that I said, Lord, that was a miss or a contrary, Lord, if you, Lord, remove it from the people's thoughts even, Lord. But let every word of yours, Lord, sink into our hearts, into our minds. Let it be there that when the enemy speaks, that we've got an answer to speak back and say, get out of the road and lie down in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your precious blood, Lord. We plead the blood now over our loved ones, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity afresh, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Praise the Lord. Brother's going to come and sing a couple of choruses before we go. And I want to give an opportunity, if you want hands laid on you. For I'm going to ask Samuel to pray for anybody who wants prayer and you want hands laid on, a point of contact. It works, it's real. It's Mark 16, lay hands on the sick. They shall recover. If you're here, I want to say this. If you're here and you felt maybe God did touch you, but you missed it or lost it, God can do it again.
Amen.
God can do it again.
Glory.
People can be healed and lost their healing. That can happen. But it's one thing. If God healed you one time, God can heal you another time.
Amen.
Whatever the Lord done one time, the Lord's always able to do it again because he's always the same. He never changes. So as a brother sings and worships, you come if you feel led to come and Samuel will pray for you. And I was almost deaf in this, deaf in one ear. And Samuel prayed for me and the Lord healed me.
Amen.
The other week I had a pain right down this hip, right down nerve. Every time I talk to anybody, you'll always have it. You'll always have it. Brother Jackie prayed for me and the Lord touched me.
Amen.
There's other people who was here that Jackie went and prayed for and the Lord touched them.
Amen.
The Lord's touched people. There's a sister in this meeting, and she didn't come to the front or anything. I prayed from the front. A while before that, God healed her. There's people that's been healed in this meeting, some of us don't know about.
Amen.
But God's real. And it's like Samuel said, to him is all the glory. So brother, just whatever he feels led to sing and worship for a moment or two before we go, and to give an opportunity, if you want prayer and hands led on, that you come, praise God. And there was more than three this morning, there was at least five people here that saved.
Yeah.
At least five that just got saved. And I'm saying now, if I missed you earlier, I'm sorry. But I thank God, salvation's the most important thing.
Yeah.
Praise God. The Lord bless you. Don't forget our service tonight. Gospel service tonight. Come bring somebody in. Come under expectation. As we worship now, if you want prayer, Brother Samuel will pray for you. God bless everyone.